And welcome to the first official 2010 recording of the Call to the Candidate podcast. My guest host tonight will be... And welcome to the first official 2010 recording of the Call to the Candidate podcast. My guest host tonight will be...
The Hal 9000. No, wait, no. Sorry. Nick.
Nick, it is very nice to have you once again on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Zach.
The film that we're going to be discussing tonight is from 1985. It is directed by Mark L. Lester. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger. So that can only mean that this particular film is...
Commando.
That's right, Commando. Who else stars in Commando, Nick?
A whole host of people, including a very young Alyssa Milano.
And she was also on My Name is Earl and that stupid show about witches.
Charmed.
Yeah, Charmed.
Which amazingly was really popular, supposedly.
So. Yeah, and I think there were like 7 or 8 seasons of it, too.
Yeah.
Just to me, it's just mind-boggling.
Well, yeah, it's one of those quirky shows, so who knows.
It's one of those shows that like really nerdy girls who have boyfriends that play Magic the Gathering watch. Ray Dawn Chong, Tommy Chong's daughter. She plays the quote-unquote love interest.
Oh.
An unwilling participant in kidnap and mass murder.
And also, Dan, I'm going to say his last name wrong, so please correct me. Dan
Hedaya. Dan Hedaya.
I'm not even going to. You say it.
It's Dan Hedaya, known as Alicia Silverstone's dad in Clueless. He was also on that terrible sitcom, Yesteryear, as a recurring character.
He was also in the Shaft remake and played Richard Nixon in Dick.
Yes, he did play Nixon. That's right. Yep.
I like him. He's like one of my... I know you say this a lot, so I'm going to steal your phrase. He's one of my favorite character actors. He just pops up in a lot of oddball projects.
I tend to like character actors better than mainstream actors just because I really like it when a character actor can just go in and just pull off a really odd role. Like, I really love that. Like, before we started recording, I was talking about Jeremy Davies, who I think is excellent. Like, I really love when someone can just go in there and just crush it out of the ballpark in a small role like that. This film also stars Vernon Wells, who is probably not particularly well known to a lot of people, but he played the villain in a lot of 80s movies. For example, he was in The Road Warrior, and he was totally awesome in that, and again, he's totally awesome in this. He looks like a bulked up Freddie Mercury on steroids in this movie. And last but not least, Bill Duke. Bill Duke is a badass as well, and he also stars with Schwarzenegger in Predator. And he makes he's in the film for maybe 10 minutes. He plays a complete badass who gets in one of, I think, honestly, one of cinema's greatest man-to-man fights with Schwarzenegger in this film. This is a really badass movie. Basically, the plot is very simple. Schwarzenegger plays a character by the name of John Matrix. For some reason, he is like a retired super soldier, and he's got a daughter who is played by Alyssa Milano. She gets kidnapped by this crime lord. It doesn't really matter. He's got to go on this enormously long killing spree to get his daughter back and save the world. It's basically 90 minutes of Schwarzenegger like stabbing guys, shooting guys, cutting guys' arms off, breaking necks, throwing guys through balconies, dropping guys off cliffs. And it was written by Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, genre fans will probably recognize that name for being a well-established comic book writer and also writer for such popular TV shows as Smallville, Lost, and for a short time there, Heroes.
Heroes, yeah, until he was fired from Heroes last year.
Was it last year or 2 years? I don't know, it was a couple. It was
totally last year. Yeah. Kind of sad that show started out with such promise and then has just devolved into one of the worst shows on TV, in my opinion. But
I like the current story arc. I haven't seen this season yet, but the Fugitive arc I thought was actually pretty good, but that's just me.
Director Mark L. Lester has worked a lot within the confines of genre film. He hasn't really done anything that was totally mainstream. I would say Commando is his most mainstream picture. Some of his other movies that he's directed have been things like Showdown in Little Tokyo, which is a Dolph Lundgren movie. He directed Stephen King's Firestarter. He directed the cult hit Class of 1999. He directed Armed and Dangerous with John Candy. So he hasn't really done a whole lot of films that are very commercial. Again, Commando is probably his most commercial and best-known film. It's also one of what I claim to be Schwarzenegger's forgotten films. When you think about Schwarzenegger, you think about films like Terminator 2 and True Lies, Total Recall.
There we go.
You know, you don't often think of these Predator. You don't often think of these smaller films that, like Commando, Red Heat, even the first Terminator film to some extent gets kind of buried in there because a lot of people remember Terminator 2 because it was such a huge action spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
But these smaller films that Schwarzenegger starred in the mid '80s. Along with other movies like The Running Man, for example, are probably actually more of my favorite Schwarzenegger movies, the ones that aren't as well known. They seem to be a bit more batshit insane because they're not as mainstream as the other ones. So it seems to me like this was a point in Schwarzenegger's career where he could do all this crazy shit and just totally get away with it because he wasn't making $20 million, he wasn't married to Maria Shriver, and he didn't have to worry about future political ambitions and things like that. So there's kind of a recklessness to this movie, which I really appreciate.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, but wasn't this movie really like a turning point in the type of movies that Schwarzenegger made? It seemed like before this he made just movies with just mindless action. And then starting with this movie, they not only were mindless action, but they had incredibly lame zingers that went along with the... like anytime Schwarzenegger blows up someone.
This is one of his first movies where he started to do those little zingers, you're right. I think it started to some extent it started in The Terminator because he's playing a cyborg, he does not get a lot of lines. So he does kind of these one and two line things. I think that this film really exploits that to the best effect that Schwarzenegger had seen in his career. Lines like "let off some steam, Bennett," after he throws a guy through a steam pipe. Things like, "remember when I promised I'd kill you last, I lied," things of that nature. It's really over the top, borderline campy in some places. Like there's a scene where Schwarzenegger, after he kidnaps the love interest of the film, he rips a seat out of her car with like zero effort. I mentioned that this film is batshit insane, and I'll explain why. People are dying, like, all around on airplanes, in shopping malls, in hotels, and, like, no one ever calls the cops, or there's nothing logical happens in the movie. It's just mindless, bizarre, inane deaths over and over.
There's only one section of the movie that actually deals with the cops, and it's in when they're in the mall, when the love interest, like, calls Schwarzenegger out on being, like, this crazy guy. And then doesn't Schwarzenegger just, like, eliminate, like, 100 mall cops that, like, attack him?
Yeah, first of all, have you ever been to a mall where there have been more than, like, 5 security officers? Second of all, have you ever seen those security officers actually ever do anything besides just patrol? Do you seriously think that there's going to be, like, a murderer's row of Jackie Chan villains at the local mall, ready, willing, and able to take on Schwarzenegger, to attack a guy who they have absolutely zero suspicion, you know, for all they know, he's just a guy walking through the mall, and it's
crazy. Well, I don't know about the malls you go to, but that happens at every single mall I venture into, Zach.
I've mentioned this like 3 times now, but I love the way that Ray Don Chong's character is basically kidnapped by Schwarzenegger, and yet, by the end of the movie, she falls in love with him. I think that's fantastic. You don't get that kind of batshit energy in an action movie anymore. Nowadays, everything has to be CGI bullshit, and everything's PG-13 for, you know, commercial values, things of that nature. Very rarely nowadays do you get a film that's like a hard R, balls to the wall extravaganza like Commando, and that's why I really appreciate this film.
Just like how like insane it actually all is. I really do.
When the film starts off, Schwarzenegger is basically like living in like the mountains of Northern California or Colorado or something, right?
And yeah.
Don't we see him like carrying around like 2 tree trunks, like one in each arm?
Yeah, just something that is so ridiculous.
kind of reminds me of X-Men Origins, which was awful, which was released last year, where for a large portion of the movie, Hugh Jackman is just kind of like hanging out in the woods of Canada doing stuff that's like specifically designed to get female audience members in the movie aroused. Just ridiculous shit. Eventually, Schwarzenegger's daughter is kidnapped by Bennett, who, as we learn, Bennett is one of the main antagonists. There are two. It's him and as well as General Arias, I think is his name, played by Dan Hedaya. Anyway, Bennett kidnaps his daughter and basically blackmails him into... He says, if you go down to unknown South American country and kill this dictator, we'll give you your daughter back. Well, Schwarzenegger doesn't take kindly to this. So that sets in motion, basically, like we said before, 90 minutes of Schwarzenegger just kicking ass and taking names.
I love it how at the beginning of this movie, Schwarzenegger's, I guess, ex-CEO or something like that.
He was a Green Beret, I think.
Yeah. Like, Schwarzenegger's ex-boss, essentially. CEO is the wrong term. But, like, sends, like, a whole troop of, like, top-of-the-line army men to guard Schwarzenegger. And all those men are killed within 5 minutes, but... None of these bad guys could lay a finger on Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like, I actually felt bad for, like, the guys who, like, were meant to protect him because they died so quickly.
Eventually, there is a scene with Radon Chong, who plays a flight attendant by the name of Cindy. He meets her. For some reason, they form, like, an uneasy truce. He manages to escape from the assignment. He doesn't actually go to South America. I was a bit disappointed in that the first time that I watched the movie. I was like, oh, you mean we're not going to watch Schwarzenegger kill a South American drug lord slash dictator? But when I found out that, you know, by watching the rest of the movie that there was enough ass kicking to fill that void, I was okay with it after that.
Let's face it, the guy who, like, Arias, who Schwarzenegger eventually, spoiler alert, kills in the movie... basically was a warlord and dictator in his own right, so I guess it evens out that way.
Almost comically so.
Yeah, I think Dan Hayeda is the last person who should be playing a Mexican warlord. Especially with that really bad, I don't know, feel free to disagree, but it's a really bad accent he has on there.
The former dictator of a fictional country of Valverde. So, Bat, you get this back and forth throughout the film between Schwarzenegger and Vernon Wells, who again plays Bennett, who was a captain in Matrix's Special Forces team once in the past. And their fight at the end does not disappoint. As we mentioned before, Bennett is basically dressed like Freddie Mercury on steroids. He's wearing like a mesh shirt. Like a chain mail mesh shirt, leather pants. He's got this giant biker slash gay porn star mustache going on. And to
this
be
guy
honest,
cannot go ahead. This guy cannot be more 1980s.
To be honest with you, Vernon Wells like totally doesn't look in shape in this movie for some reason. He looks like he's put on about like 30 pounds of fat and he's losing his muscle. I don't know, maybe he was just getting old or something, because he had been in the Road Warrior only like 5 years earlier and he was like ripped to the teeth, almost as much as Schwarzenegger. But in this movie, he just looks kind of like over the hill and overweight, which I think adds a layer of comedy to their fight as well. But yeah, that is the fight where we get the infamous "let off some steam" comment from Schwarzenegger. I think that doesn't his daughter like watch the entire fight between them?
It's something that no girl her age should be watching.
Yeah,
or rather, come away completely mentally sound afterwards.
Exactly. Again, comedically so. I mean, there's no reason why this guy's like 12-year-old daughter should be watching her dad like pummel these guys and stab them in the throat and throw guys through steam pipes, cut off guys' arms, and.
Although I do have to say, to the girl's credit, the way she was written and then subsequently portrayed, she probably going to grow up to be a badass a bit of herself, because even though she was kidnapped, she was, you know, pretty smart at trying to get out.
And despite all the batshit insanity that's going on around this film, the most ridiculous scene in the whole film is when Radon Chong, who we should say has absolutely zero weapons training whatsoever, blows up the back of a police van to free Schwarzenegger. She fires an RPG at the armored police. Like, if you've seen The Dark Knight, you know what I'm talking about, like one of those armored police cars. She blows up the back of it with a rocket-propelled grenade to free Schwarzenegger. I don't even think I could do that, you know, and I have an FOID. I don't even think I would be able to accurately fire an RPG with it's totally ridiculous, but it works.
When she helped him escape from that, police prison, essentially, the moving prison, wasn't like no other cars out in the middle of the night, and
And they're in LA.
yeah, it was like completely empty.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's a common thing in films though, honestly, but
Yeah, I suppose. I guess it adds to it, you know?
yeah, it's like in the Blues Brothers when they're driving around Chicago and shit, and there's like no one on the road. It's like, have they ever actually been to Chicago? We should say that this film was originally conceived as a vehicle for Gene Simmons, lead singer from Kiss, or maybe not lead singer, one of the four guys from Kiss, the guy with the tongue. I don't understand how that would work at all. And then later on, it was they tried to get Nick Nolte to star in it, and I guess Nick Nolte was too prestigious for this movie, so he said no.
How the mighty have fallen.
This film got good reviews when it opened in the mid-80s as well, which is quite surprising to me, because nowadays, well, we don't get a lot of Schwarzenegger movies now. So I should say, like, when I was in my teenage years, when a Schwarzenegger movie would come out, you would almost universally brace yourself for terrible reviews. But this film actually did quite well as far as the critics go.
Well, there's a lot to like about it, because I think no one in this movie takes what's going on very seriously. Like, everyone realizes this is just a giant cartoon, essentially, a
Right.
giant live-action cartoon, and they have, it seems like they're having fun with it, which I think resonates with audiences.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And we should also say another interesting talking point for this movie was that a sequel planned, a Commando 2, the script was eventually rewritten and dropped as the idea for a Commando 2, and it became Die Hard.
Yeah,
Which,
it's kind of neat.
yeah, that's, I mean, to me, that's amazing because Die Hard is one of my all-time favorite films, and it doesn't really have a whole lot in common with Commando. There's a lot of violence and a lot of one-liners and things like that, but the spirit of each movie is totally different. Commando is totally tongue-in-cheek, and the violence is over-top violence, I think, is purposely meant to be funny, whereas Die Hard is more of a straight-up action adventure film in a lot of ways.
Well, the original script to Die Hard was, I think, originally written to be a sequel to a Frank Sinatra movie called The Detective. And I know, like, it was based on a book that was a sequel to the book that The Detective was based on. And they wanted to rework it as, when that, I guess that didn't work out, they wanted to rework it as Commando. And then I guess when either Schwarzenegger, whoever, however that happened, didn't work out, they just, took the plot and then switched it up again and until something completely different.
One of the things that Commando does well is what I like to call the hero wound, which is getting shot like either in the arm or in the shoulder. Of course, that happens to Schwarzenegger in this movie. It also happens to basically the hero in any movie ever who gets shot, who doesn't die at the end. He gets shot in the arm by Bennett, but then I don't think that people realize just how much it hurts to get shot.
Well, people in movie land getting shot in the arm is like, well, the hero's not, he's not invincible, but he got shot. But in the arm, it's like, oh, well, that's easy to heal. It's like, yeah,
Right.
but it still hurts a lot.
Right. That always kills me because it's like in the movies, the hero gets shot like in the shoulder or the arm, and then like then usually he's stitched up by the female, the love interest, and then after that it's like the wound is never ever mentioned again, even though by all reasons and rights it should be totally infected and painful as hell and like oozing pus and things of that nature, but it's
The
never brought
perfect
back.
example I could think of right off the top of my head here is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because during when Indiana Jones actually gets the Ark after the giant car chase sequence, he's like shot in the arm and still manages to drive a truck, get thrown out of it, crawl back, punch the other guy out, and run away with the Ark, only to be healed up by Marion, but yet still have a good 20 minutes of adventure left.
I haven't seen Raiders of the Lost Ark in ages.
I watched all four of them over the Christmas holiday. If I might be able to here, I have a story concerning Commando. I don't think he'll mind that I'm telling the story, but my buddy Glenn, who I worked with at when I taught for a couple of years, when he was younger, his brother would love this movie. I mean, his brother watched this movie every single day, and I think his brother was, he was young, like in his like early teens, like maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. And he would watch it every single day, and to the point where his parents wanted to break him from watching this movie because he was watching it way, way too much. And they took the movie, and I guess they threw it away. I guess when the brother found out that their parents threw away their video copy of Commando, he like went into a fit of depression because he couldn't watch Commando. Like he was like crying and flipping out about it.
That is hilarious and kind of
And
sad.
yeah, well, and because of that, first time I watched this movie, I mentioned that I watched it to Glenn. He can never watch this movie because of his brother's reaction to that. Like he can never enjoy it because of the way like of his past experience with that movie. So I found that very, very amusing.
That's awesome. I was actually going somewhere with the whole hero wound thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I got like totally off track as well. But it's important to know that Schwarzenegger gets shot in the arm because this is what leads to Bennett's downfall. Because you see, Bennett is so full of pride that even though he has a gun on Schwarzenegger and could just shoot him in the throat and just blow him away, bing, bang, boom, Schwarzenegger ends up taunting him and saying, "Oh, come on, fight me in a knife fight. I've only got one arm. You can beat me in a knife fight." And then, of course, as we all know, you can't beat Arnold Schwarzenegger in a knife fight. So that Bennett's pride leads to his downfall, thus again offering us another lesson, we should say, in Schwarzenegger cinema history. The lesson is don't challenge Arnold Schwarzenegger to a knife fight.
Fair enough.
I mean, I can't think of something that I wouldn't want to that I wouldn't want to do less than fight Arnold Schwarzenegger with a giant knife.
That's why you don't fight Schwarzenegger with a knife.
I mean, every time the guy has a knife in his 80s movies, it's like you better get out of the way because that knife's gonna go right through your stomach. Which is one of my favorite scenes in Predator, when like that guy is all trying to sneak up on him and then on another guy, and then Schwarzenegger just throws that military knife right through him, and you can hear it sticking to the wood. One of the greatest sound effects ever. Anything else to say about Commando?
I don't think so. I think we talked about it to exhaustion. You're the one who first alerted me to this movie.
Oh yeah? How did I do that?
I remember you came over to my dad's house for a couple of days one summer to help me build some stuff around the house.
I remember that. That was fun.
And you were telling me about how you purposely stayed up late one night because the movie Commando was being on TV. And you're telling me bits from about this movie. And I'm like, oh, I gotta watch this film. And for the longest time, I couldn't find it in any video store. Even Netflix didn't have it on their queue up until like last summer, when one day I opened up my mail and pff, Commando. So I set aside everything for like that entire afternoon so I could watch it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it from beginning to end.
Occasionally you can catch it on AMC, and I've been so tempted to pick it up on Blu-ray because it's like I know that if I don't buy it, then it's gonna like get shipped back to the warehouse, and I'll never have the opportunity to buy it on Blu-ray again. And it's I think it's in a two-pack with Predator for like $20, and that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, for Blu-ray, yeah.
And that movie and Predator is pretty good. I like Commando better, but Predator is pretty good. I think we've gone on for way too long.
Well, what was this podcast about?
That is some movie with Schwarzenegger.
Oh, The Terminator.
So, okay,
Hope they make a sequel.
let me do a little oh God, Salvation was awful. So there you have it, folks. Nick and I have both decided to cult Commando. So if you've enjoyed the podcast, please check out the website at http://cultitorcanit.blogspot.com. We update every Monday. I'm officially back from vacation. So we'll get new podcasts up for you each and every week. So, Nick, you want to say goodbye to all the nice people out there?
Goodbye, all you nice people out there.
All 7 or 8 of you.
Hey. You never know. I post links on the message boards I visit, so.
All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks for listening. Contact the website if you ever have any suggestions for us. I'm always looking for guest hosts and suggestions. So drop us a line and let us know where you stand. Thank you.